Welcome to another episode of Baby Steps, the first steps to understanding the paradox of parenting. My name is Danielle Ochieng, and I am an early childhood education specialist by passion and profession with a degree in the same. I'm currently an early years curriculum designer and consultant, and I also run an early literacy program for children in underserved communities called Watoto Wasome Trust. So I've been working with children for over 10 years in different capacities, usually all in one. I was a counselor, a teacher, guide, friend, confidant, everything. And this spans through all ages, 0 to 18 plus years, but I focus on the early years and particularly the 0 to 5 because it's the foundation of everything about children. And now, drum rolls. It's time for another Did You Know fact. Now, did you know that the amount of energy toddlers use each day is equivalent to an adult running 48 kilometers or boxing for 4 straight hours? And yet it's still a hassle to get them to bed. Anyway, that brings us to today's topic. Bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Well, we're just going to handle what are the basic needs of our kids, which is quality time with us. So today's topic is basically going to focus on spending quality time with our children. And I just give ideas on what we can do with our kids, because a lot of parents and caregivers tell me they really don't know what to do with their children during their free time. And it's a good thing that you have free time, because I was actually doing some research, and there's this article I was reading where they interviewed about 2,000 parents. And it said that they found out that at least half of parents spend less than 1 hour of quality time with their children. Mark the words, quality time. There's actually one research that I read that stressed it at only 34 minutes. And this is a day of undistracted time with their children. Like, even sitting together to eat at the same time was a struggle. And for 43% of those families, while a quarter of those families that were interviewed lacked time to even talk about what happened during that day. Quite shocking. Or maybe not. And okay, for the little time we get with our children in those 34 minutes a day, a lot of the conversation is usually focused on giving orders and telling them what they need to do, like homework and chores. While telling them these things is important for their optimum growth, even as they become adults, but it's also important to spend quality time with them in shared activities where the child can take the lead in most of those activities. And no, this is not a bias, because that's my love language. No, it's because quality time is essential in building every kind of relationship, and especially for our kids. You know, I don't know which category you fall in, but my prayer is that we all jump into the side of parents that is intentional on being actively there for our children. So I know some of these things are going to be strange phenomena, especially if you grew up in the typical African home or family, or in a home that faced many challenges. But don't you agree that it's time to flip the coin and change the lives of our children so that they can grow more emotionally stable and satisfied than we did? Our kids, actually, I need to emphasize this with parents, our kids don't need perfect parents. They need happy ones. So they don't need iPhones and video games and excess clothes that it even overwhelms them and frustrates them to choose what they're going to wear. And they don't need too much food. They need us, period. And allow me to clarify this now. This quality time does not need to rip your pockets broke. And so today I will just share a couple of ideas and of activities that you can begin to implement with your child to ensure at least we start achieving these goals of building holistic kids. So as I was reading that research that I earlier mentioned of the parents that were interviewed, the three of the top factors that lead to insufficient time are some that I'm sure we can all relate with, or two in one way or the other. Long working hours, lengthy commutes, and getting in from work exhausted. And if you're like me and live in areas like Rongai in Kajiado County, and then work on the other end of Nairobi County, you must be feeling these vibes big time. Especially the last two. Wah, hey. You can spend up to 5 hours on the road in a day,
with 3 of those hours being the commute back home. You leave the office when the sun is still up and hot, and you arrive when it's dark and cold. You're sleepy, you're exhausted, you're irritated. Hey, Jenny, there's a mixture of all these and more, and you just want to get home and sleep. Put a note on the door and say, that says to your kids and everyone in the house, okay, guys, assume I am dead and gone, and you need to survive on your own. Lol. And then now imagine you have to wake up to the same routine every single day. Believe you me, I feel you 100% on this. But imagine our children suffer in the process because you most likely left the house when they were asleep and come back to the same. Or if you find them awake, you only ask if they've showered, they've done their homework. And then you tell them, okay, I'm so tired. Hey, maybe we'll hang out over the weekend, or I'll talk to you tomorrow. But if tomorrow never comes, will they know how much you love them? Anyway, I know for sure, sometimes I suggest a lot of crazy things, yeah? And I'm just about to suggest another crazy one. If you can move closer to work, or you can move work closer to home, please do. But if that's like, Daniela, is too insane, when you come home, if you can try get home early, or if your child is awake, carry your child. Okay, I know I insist on this. Carry your child if they're young enough, or sit with them if they're too old, and ask them how their day was, the good, the bad, the ugly, and if they had a chance to help someone who needed it, or be kind, or anything. Just build conversation to find out who your child is. And then tell them about your day, share your day. It's time for light, teachable moments. You get to discover who your child is. Your child gets to discover who you are. They get to be able to confide in you. It's beautiful, beautiful. Anyway, I'd also highly encourage you to read a book with your child. I know I'm not all about literacy, but it is very important. And you know, I have parents, we see parents complain of the children don't want to read. But literally, if the home is just filled with electronic gadgets, and that's how you learn to bribe your children, that's how you give them to get them quiet, what do we expect? Like even infants, like even if your child is an infant, get a book to read with them. Get picture books for the young kids. Even infants love stories. To just read them, engage them in it. You know, let them turn the pages if they can. Ask them what they think is happening on that page before you turn it, or before you read what's happening. Ask them how they think the story will end, or how they would like it to end. Ask the colors, the shapes, the sizes they see. Relate it to their lives so that they can gain even more value from the book, and also realize that, oh, these things actually relate to my life, you know. And this is how you get children to start loving to read naturally. So that when they're going for main exams and they reach those points, you're not forcing them to read, because it becomes a natural thing. Use different intonations in your voice when you're reading. Hi, low, loud, whispering. You know, you can do the same with older children. Start a book club at home, you know, where you decide to read a chapter or more a day or every day, and then decide we're going to discuss it, what we've learned, and analyze it during that week, or on a certain time when you have time, quality time that you've just scheduled out for your child. If they're in school, do some homework with them. Let them show and tell you their strengths in each subject, and ask them to share their struggles so that you can help them overcome. Let them know areas that you struggle with in your life so that they can see it's just part of life, and they won't grow up feeling worthless just because they cannot perfectly execute certain things. Tell them the importance of trying their best, because that is what matters. And above all, tell them to put their trust in God. It makes so much easier when you believe in Him. And then now let them know, very important, that one size does not fit all. And they should work to find their own size and make sure that they are the best at it. And cheer them on as a parent. Speak positivity into your child's life every day. TV, video games, these are not good ways of spending time, because there's little to no communication, and depending on the age, some of these things do more harm than good. Trust me, my entire fourth year project was the impact and the effects of media on the moral development of children and emotional. The things you find out are startling and scary. It actually made me realize, yeah, there won't be a TV in my home. For every good reason. Where the TV is going to be, there are going to be books. We're going to learn to read. We're going to learn to spend time together. Yeah, anyway, let me move on. So, just giving you a few activities that you can do. And believe me, most of them don't tear the pocket. They're actually very easy to do. Take a walk with your child, even around the estate, or around the home, wherever you stay. Teach them how to ride a bike or how to skate. Draw or paint pictures together. Make a meal or a simple snack. They will love these moments. They will cherish these moments. I know, like this last holiday, we had traveled to Shags, and so my small sister loves cooking. Man, she loves the kitchen. Me, not so much. So, but I love experimenting when she's there. So our stepsister came, and she's like 4 years old. Believe me, she made every single thing that we made that day. She wanted to roll the dough for samosas. You know, she helped us make something called pretzels. She wanted to mix the cake dough. You know, and this moment she gets to talk and she gets to bond with you, and you just see how much joy she has. Believe you me, kids want to help. Like if you're making chapati, I know my mom did this a lot when we were small. Give them a small piece of dough to roll and then cook it for them. I mean, that's if they wouldn't have made it into a football and get it dirty. You know, let them make fruit salads with you. Then when you're done with the fruit salad, go sit outside in the balcony or wherever you can to enjoy together as you talk about life and anything that is talkable, you know. Sing songs together, you know, and this would actually be very exciting. Try and make up one for the two of you or the many of you, however many you are. Who knows, you guys might just become the next big thing. You know, let them wash dishes and clothes with you, even if you'll have to redo them. It's the effort that counts, it's that time that matters, it's the joy and satisfaction they get to just being next to you and spending that time. Play dress up. Now, dress up means you get to act as different characters. You can be a doctor, you can be a nurse, you can be a teacher, you can be a conductor. Play dress up with them. Or have a tea party if your kids have dolls, or race with their cars. Go outside and skip rope or race together. Start Zumba in the house, you know, aerobics, exercise together. Make effort to eat some meals together. It's a very good bonding time. Mealtime is a very good bonding time. Go for school functions and events. Hey, you have no idea how this, I remember seeing my parents every time they would come for my school events. The joy that, let me tell you, you'll outdo yourself. Like, even if you're not as good at whatever it is you're supposed to do, you'd outdo yourself, and you have that joy, and then you'd see everybody else, every other child saying, oh, your parents are here. And, you know, you feel that pride, and you grow up confident knowing your parents support you, and then make school so much easier, especially if your kid does not like school. Which, by the way, I'm going to handle a topic on that. Very important, because kids' health and the school is very important to me. Anyway, play hide and seek. Build a tower from boxes. Just go and get boxes. Build a tower. You can even camp in the house where you just throw a big bed sheet over a table and, you know, put a torch, and you guys camp. And simple things. Tidy the house together. Good way to teach them chores. Let them narrate their favorite story. Plant a tree or grow some plants in a bottle. I know, like, we have ours, various plants that we grow outside in bottles, big bottles that we cut in half. You know, today's children, if you look at research everywhere, are stressed out, they're unfocused, they're sleep deprived, they're moody, they're angry, they're upset, simply because of overusing video games, smartphones, tablets, TVs, computers. I mean, these kids are sad. The corners of their mouths are turned upside down. And many of them, it's because of overexposure. I mean, there are other factors, but a lot of them, if you see these days, it's because of overexposure to electronic screens. There's a pediatrician and psychiatrist called Dr. D.W. Winnicott, who observed that babies respond to mirroring, which means when they're seeing themselves reflected in a parent or a caregiver, and watching Baby shark, doo 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 doo, baby shark. Okay, that doesn't do the job. They want you, like, when they do something or move their hands or make a face, they want to see a real human being reflecting that thing of what they're doing. And there's also clinical psychologists who suggest a four-step plan to reduce screen time from a child's life. This is like if your child is already ingrained into it, and getting them off their phones or computers has become very hard. The first step is simply no screen time in the morning. You wake up. If it's a devotion, you do devotion. You go wash your face, or you go take a shower. You plan your day. They sit and learn to plan the day, what they're going to do, what they want to achieve. And then they start working on those activities. If it's chores, everything. Step number two, there's no screen time during meal times. Whether it's snacking, no phones, no tablets, no TVs. Even you as parents, yes, no eating when watching news. No eating when watching soap operas or whichever other series or whatever it is you're watching. No, simply no screen time for anybody during mealtime. It's time for everybody to sit together and bond. Imagine they'll get used to it if you make the conversations interesting. And don't do it with force. You know, just say, I think it's time that we sit down together. We learn to sit together as a family, no phones and all this. Because first of all, it's let them know it's also very detrimental to their health when they watch too much of it. Number three, no screen time at least 1 hour before sleeping. If you can do more, better. And lastly, please, please, no screen media in your child's bedroom. No TV, no phones, iPads, nothing. Laptops, none of those things in the bedroom. Anyway, so I'll move on with a few more activities that you can do. Take them to the park. Many of us have been to Nairobi National Park. Do you actually talk about what we see, the beauty of nature and stuff like that? Take them, go for swimming, you know, play board games or make one. There's one we made called Draft. It's like chess. The board looks like chess, and we used cardboard from boxes. We drew the boxes. My parents made us draw the boxes and shade some, and then we used bottle tops. As in, I want to tell you, it was a very fun activity we used to play. Go for shopping, dance together, just turn on the music and dance. Fly kites, play Simon Says, touch your head, Simon Says, find something blue, or play I Spy with my little eye. Man, this was my childhood favorite. I think also because my mom played this game with us all the time. I think also because I was the only girl growing up. I used to sit behind the kitchen a lot because it was her favorite place. And then she'd just be like, I Spy with my little eye, something that is blue, or something that begins with the sound S or S, you know, teachable moments. I love this game. Go for picnics, buy water balloons, be a child again with the water balloons, hit one another with them. You know, there's a saying that goes, we don't stop playing because we've grown old. We grow old because we stop playing. A boom. Anyway, watch sunrises and sunsets. Yes, these are especially beautiful and rejuvenating. I went for one full sunset. Man, my spirit was renewed. Anyway, look at the stars together. Talk about the shapes and the sizes and the designs you see in the skies. You know, go to the museum. There's Nairobi National Museum. There's the archives. Some of us have never been there. Go, you know, talk about the things there. Make lasting crafts that you can decorate the house with. Make a book together. Author by mom, dad, and, you know, imagine how awesome it would be to do that book. Conduct a science experiment, do a story with the dolls. It's like a puppet show. And there are countless things you can do with your children. You can pick some I've mentioned. You can ask them for it. It's very important, by the way, to ask them what they would like to do. You can suggest your own. Ask them what they would like to do, and search the internet. Believe you me, may God be praised for the internet. You can find anything and everything. Make Play-Doh for if you have little kids. Actually, I'm till about the age of 8. Kids love these things. Very simple recipe. Flour, water, a scent, salt, Evo. Mix it. You get your Play-Doh. It's very simple things. Run a spelling bee. You know, this is a time to a fun way to encourage your child to learn how to spell if they're that age. Like, for example, if you're eating a meal, you'd be like, Tamara, you're holding a spoon. Spell spoon. You know, in a fun way. Just anyway, guy, okay. The list is limitless and the possibilities are endless. incorporate the ones you loved as a child. And trust me, life will become sweeter for all parties. I'll give a brief description. There's one my mom used to do with us where you start by hitting the back of your hands together. So start to kibaba, and then you go to the palms, and then you now like squeeze your fingers together into one small thing. So this would be kibaba, kibaba, then kigogo, then kinyunyu, kinyunyu. I used to laugh my head out. I use that thing for my sister, and she'd also die when she was really young. And it works with kids. Just incorporate the activities you liked when your kids. Rounders, you know, kati, bladder, whichever games, hide and seek, stuck in the mud, whichever games you grew up with. Trust me, your kids will love them. There's just so much out there you can do with your kids, and it doesn't have to break your pockets. They just need that quality time. They will grow emotionally. Life will become so much sweeter, so much easier for them. Anyway, that's it for me for today. I hope you've learned a few things and you're going to incorporate some of them. You know, I'm all about trying to make sure we raise happy and holistic children, especially mentally and emotionally. It's a tough world out here, and it's the least we can do. So I'm still happy to hear from you. So feel free to reach out via email on parentingbabysteps.com. Parentingbabysteps is one word, .com. And I will always get back to you. And remember, it is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. Bye.